Going to deal with Genesis chapter 1 a little bit more today. I think we dealt with that a couple weeks ago, some things there, but Genesis would be in the Old Testament, brother. It would be the Old Testament right after the book of what book is where, okay, right after that part. Just go to Revelation, take a left. Okay. So in Genesis chapter number 1, we talked about this before, the most hated and attacked verse in this Bible is not John 3:16, it's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Man just can't hardly accept that, because if God created everything, then he's the authority. And if you don't, man doesn't want God to be the authority. For the most part, this flesh doesn't want an authority. A lost man definitely doesn't want God to be the authority, because that means he's wicked and God's going to judge him one day. So the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the earth, evening and the morning were the second day, excuse me. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God said saw that it was good. And the evening and morning were the fourth day. So we see the going down through these days. And what I want to talk about this morning is these evolutionary theories. We talked about this passing. Every once in a while, we'll talk about different theories today. And the first thing we're going to deal with is the day-age theory. We'll make that a little T. I don't like that theory. Amen. So the day-age theory. Because the Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day in the Lord. So a lot of people say, well, it doesn't make sense that science says that everything is a gazillion years old. So maybe God took 1,000 years and that was the first day. The day was 1,000 years long, which is rubbish. And what we just read shows that. First of all, he says the evening and the morning were the first day. So if 1,000 years, that means he had 500 years of evening and 500 years of morning. That didn't make sense. But also, we read in verse, I believe it was 11, that God created the grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind on the third day. It says so in 11 through 13. So if he created the grass and the trees and all that stuff on the third day, and then it was 1,000 years later, or 500 years, or whatever. I don't know where we were in that first day, 1,000 years. If it was all those years later he created the sun, what were those plants doing without a sun? So it couldn't have been 1,000 years, couldn't have been hundreds of years. It had to be God created them one 24-hour day, and in the next 24-hour day, he had created the sun and the moon. Also worth mentioning at this time is that the sun and the moon represent Jesus Christ and the church. The moon doesn't have a light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. We don't have a light of our own. We reflect the light of Christ. That being said, though, the light lives in you. So now that he's gone physically from this earth, and the Lord's no longer walking this earth physically. We are the light, but it's His light. Like when you look at the moon at night, you see the light of the moon, but it's not the moon's light. It's a reflection of the sun. And everything is centered on the sun. I mean, the sun gives life, and the sun gives judgment. If you think about the flood, after the flood, there was something different. Men didn't live to be 900 years old. Things decay faster. People fall apart faster. And part of the reason we talked about a little bit, we'll talk about a little more today, is that the sun gives off different rays. And God's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man's body, soul, and spirit. And the sun gives rays that are three different types of rays. Now, I know the spectrum of light is different than the rays. I understand that. But the three different type of rays, some you can see and not feel, some you can feel and not see, and some you can't feel or see. But when God, I believe the canopy theory, that when the flood come, that God dumped that water that was separating us from the sun, that was protecting this world from the sun, He dumped that water out on the earth, and part of the judgment's continually worsening of the condition of the earth. I believe that's part of the curse that was allowed on this earth at the flood. So now a lot of those UV lights get through that didn't get through before. And I'm not saying that's 100% fact, but it sure makes sense, and it sure sounds like what the Bible says happened. And it makes sense that man wouldn't live as old. And in here today, if it was cloudy, it's sunny, beautiful sunny day out there. If it was cloudy and overcast and all that, and you're sitting in here today, you're still getting UV light. You're still getting sun rays inside this building. This building doesn't stop it. Now, I imagine if you had 15 foot of concrete or something, it'd stop most of it. But we're getting those sun rays, and some of those rays are destructive. They're the ones you can't see and you can't feel, usually. But the day-age theory is that each day was 1,000 years long. Well, that doesn't even make sense. And all they're doing, and I know, you know, well, that's not why we're saying that. We're not trying to prove this, that, or the other. But they just try to, that's the way saved folks a lot of times. They try to justify the fact that science says everything's a gazillion years old. Well, first of all, God warns us about science falsely so-called. And supposedly the earth was several hundred thousand years old, then 1 million years old, then 1 billion years old, then 1 trillion years old. Now they're making up numbers at this point because they can't fit their lies into the numbers. And so there are people on both sides trying to make it work, and the Bible already tells you how to make it work. There's six 24-hour days of creation, and the seventh day God rested. So the day-age theory is that each day was 1,000 years long. But that doesn't make sense, what we just read. That's not a good theory. Then we have evolution. Let's see, what are we going to call this? We're going to call this standard view of evolution. Now, the standard view of evolution is that everything happened somehow. Everything come from nothing, apparently. And then gradually it's changed into everything that it is now. And gradually the amoeba became a monkey, and the monkey became a scientist, and the scientist became a Baptist, and the Baptist became disgruntled and started another Baptist church. All that stuff is still going on today, right? They're getting better and better and better. So this gradualism this is where they need the millions and millions of years, gradualism. Well, when they start finding these supposed missing links and all this stuff, and then they get all these peer-reviewed journals and all that, and that tells you what that's worth. Like, man, the peer-reviewed journals, they say, well, Lucy's the missing link, and all the scientists will get together and they'll agree and they'll study it out. Boy, and they'll agree that this is a good article and that's the missing link, or a missing link. And then later on, when they find out that Lucy wasn't even real, she was fabricated, then they go, oops, shame on that scientist. And then they come up with another missing link. Well, it just keeps falling apart. The reason is God's not going to let them, God's just kicking their theory. he's not going to let him get away with that. So the theory falls apart. So they say, well, it's a fact. Evolution's a fact. Well, when you're looking at minor changes inside a species, yeah, that happens. There's some really interesting things, but they don't really prove evolution. They disprove it. There are things in genetics that disprove evolution. The likelihood of that stuff happening on its own is, I mean, you could 10 to the gazillionth power. It's not happening. You'd have a better chance of winning the lottery if you never played it. And you shouldn't be playing it, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't gain information. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. True science is reproducible in a laboratory setting. Everything else is speculation or whatever. But yeah, generally, mutations are a law. The general rule is mutations are a loss of information. Now, if a one-celled organism turns into a billion-celled organism, that's not a loss of information. That's just not happening. There has to be some kind of input, and the input is a designer to make all this stuff. And they want to explain God away. This day-age theory, though, is accepted by a lot of saved people. Because they say, well, science says this, and we can't disprove science. But they really don't even know it's not science. There's nobody's lived 6 bazillion years. So how are you going to prove it's 6 bazillion years old? Carbon dating and all that other stuff has been proven to be totally inaccurate. I mean, they're taking 2 different body parts of the same exact animal in the same layer of soil, and they date thousands and thousands of years apart. It's not right. It's just science is reproducible, and that's not. But the day-age theory is the devil just threw that out there to confuse the Christians, and a lot of saved folks believe that. Then this gradualism, this Darwinism thing, and Darwin wasn't the first one to believe that. He's just one that made it popular. But Darwin made this popular, you know, the amoeba, everything come from nothing, everything boiled on a rock, and then the boiling on the rock, the chemicals got together just right, and then the chemicals turned into this one-celled organism, and then the next thing you know, it was a 2-celled, and 3-celled, and 4-celled, and then Uncle Jim, and then Frank, and then, you know, on down the line. That's gradualism over millions and millions of years. Well, they have a problem with that. They can't find these missing links. They can't find these stages of development. So since they can't find the stages of development, that brings us to this, which was brought about in the 70s, I believe. Punctuated. Yeah, they're getting a little E too. Equilibrium. You say, well, that don't sound, what in the world is that? Well, that's a $1 billion word for we're making stuff up. That's what they do. They use these fancy words. So if you go to college and you know, we're just common, normal. We're simple. You go to college, they teach you these fancy words. And then you start feeling like you're, man, I'm something. Now I can use these fancy words with other people, know these fancy words, we can impress each other. Punctuated equilibrium. Let me just tell you what it means in Missouri hillbilly. Things changed instantly instead of gradually. There, I saved you $100,000 worth of education, right? Punctuated equilibrium, they're just going along, and all of a sudden this amoeba turned into a monkey. And they can't show the stages between them. So this punctuated equilibrium, and part of that belief is that things were steady for a long time, and then for a little bit of time they change. And then they stay the same for a little bit long time, and then a little bit of time they change again. So there's a gradual period that's real short where they gradually change, or they change instantly. They've got all kinds of different takes on this thing. But the science that they're trying to push will show you these tiny little horses that go from the size of a flea to the size of a horse gradually. And then they want to tell you this too. So they're trying to tell you both things. So when you find a hole in this, they tell you this. When you find a hole in this, they tell you this. But that's basically what they're telling. That's basically what they're teaching people in public school is this gradualism of Darwin or this punctuated equilibrium. And, you know, we have a lot of folks will say they're not atheists, but they believe these things. And now what they'll say is, we believe God started it and then evolution took over. Or some kind of crazy stuff like that. Well, that, and by the way, the Pope started that. He's the one that kicked that off. He's the one that's saying there's room for evolution and creation in religion. And there is in religion, but not in reality. Not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible tells you, you either believe Genesis 1 and 2, or you don't. That's the way it is. But they'll say, well, we believe there's a God, but we believe that this stuff's going on after God started things. So there's basically what people, most of the people are going to run into, believe this or some combination of these things. But the day-age theory, each day is 1,000 years, that's supposed to accommodate. Okay, that's 7,000 years. Where do you get the other gazillion? I mean, first of all, it doesn't make sense because of the sun and the planets. You're gradually changing into... The big funny part about this, the strange part about this gradualism teaches that things are getting better and better. And, I mean, if you look at Portland, Oregon, or San Francisco, or St. Louis, Missouri, or Chicago, Illinois, or Eaton, Ohio, you know, things aren't getting better and better. They're getting worse and worse. But this is baloney. That's a $2 word for hogwash. Okay? Punctuated equilibrium. We don't have the information to prove this, so we're just going to say this. And then the evolutionists, a lot of them are like, well, you know, we're upset because they made up this punctuated equilibrium, makes us look bad. And the other evolutionists are like, no, because that's what really happened. That makes sense. But bear in mind, I don't believe that all the scientists are intentionally deceiving people. I just think they're stupid. I really do. I think they're biblically illiterate. And I really do. And I say that with all due respect to the piece of paper they got hanging on their wall. I've got one too. I'm not impressed with it. I've been to school with them. A lot of them are dope heads and drunks and whoremongers and just crazy people. So pray that you get a good doctor that loves the Lord and is trying to do right. Because I guarantee you, they're worse than you think they are. A lot of them are just wicked. Wicked. Some of the guys I went to school with were stoned every day in class. Stoned out of their mind. Drunk every day, halfway through the day. And they're probably still doing that today. You know, they're representing science. But this thing about punctuated equilibrium is just a way of saying, hey, we can't really explain all this, so we'll just say this. The reason that a lot of young folks have trouble believing they're sinners and believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior and believing the Bible is because of this. It's because of especially this. But when they get to this, you know, and they're teaching them, well, you know, you come from a monkey and you're getting better and better. That's why you need a litter box, amen. But they're teaching them this, and then when somebody comes along and says, that doesn't make sense, then they go, yeah, but what about this? So the thing is, you can never get ahead of the devil on this stuff. God's already ahead of him, but you can never get ahead of it. Everything you tell somebody, so when you're debating somebody, if you want to debate somebody over evolution or something, there's always going to be somebody that's got an answer for your answer. And somebody, oh, the devil's smarter than we are. The devil's got more knowledge than we do. You're not going to get ahead of him. You're not going to get ahead of people you're arguing with. So that's why the Bible warns against vain repetition and endless, I just lost the word, but you know what I mean, vain janglings and endless, no help here, no help. All right. Anyway, just ridiculous arguments. It's foolishness to waste all your time on that. I'm not against standing up to him and saying, I don't believe that, John. You got too many holes in that. The Bible stands. It's been that way since the beginning. I'm not against that. But I do think that and maybe God does call some people to spend their whole life debating these people. But I think it's a waste of time. Brother? Was a racist, anti-black. So, yeah. They never put that on there. They just put the origin of species, but that's the whole title is Yeah. I think everybody's inferior. We've got God, then we've got us. We're a mess. No, they don't. You don't even, most people don't even know it exists. I was talking to a black man over at, I think it was Walmart parking lot about 6 months, 4 or 5, 6 months ago. Talked to him about the Lord. And this other young kid, young black kid, he said, well, don't you think there's room for evolution and the Bible? I said, no. I said, that's stupid because it's a racist theory. I said, Darwin hated you. He thought you were an animal and he was a man. And he goes, ooh. He goes, I like this guy. I said, don't like me, like the Bible. That Bible tells you how you got here. The Bible tell you how you get your skin color. Amen. And the Bible tell you that God separated man so man would seek God. And when you start blending men together like you are in the United States, men quit seeking God. So God is a segregationist. Amen. And right now, the Looney Tunes up there in Washington, they have opened the border so they can just let all the Roman Catholics in. That's what's happened in this country. This country's being saturated with paganism. And not that we weren't a mess anyway, but they're bringing all their pagan religion in. And they're not trying to become like us. The devil's using them to bring us further away from God. And when I say us, I'm talking about saved people too. You got to be careful, sister. Well, that's true. That's true. Because that's the reason God warns against bestiality. That's why God told them to kill all the animals and everything when he told them, because they had they were breeding with those things. They were creating bizarre stuff. Yeah. Well, and the things... In the Bible, they're called dragons. The word didn't come about until the 1800s for dinosaurs. Now, the dinosaurs in the museum, those are like Lucy. You're not going to find, most of the time, they'll find 10 bones, and they'll just build this giant 500-bone thing out of it. Most of those made out of plaster and coat hangers or whatever. Or if you're a Ford fan, it's baling wire. You know what holds a Ford together, right? But plaster and baling wire, you know, that's what they build these things out of. And the reason they do that is because they want to put little tiny wings on this giant dinosaur and say it used to be a bird. They never found anything like that. So the dinosaurs that you go look at, and I love Kent Hovind. I think he's a great man. I think he's done a great service to the cause of Christianity by helping people see through the science garbage. But those dinosaurs down at his ranch, they aren't real. Those are bone. A lot of those bones, he don't have trouble with it, but he'd have to agree they make most of this stuff up. And we still have... Well, two different things about the dinosaurs. First of all, there still are dragons on this earth that grow big. You got a Komodo dragon. If you let it live to be 1,000 years old, it'd be huge. Or huge, if you're a Trump fan. So, those things, reptiles like that, don't quit growing. So, before the flood, they had more time to grow. They could live longer. Like man was living 1,000 years, the animals were living longer, too. That destructive force that's allowed in by the after the flood is working on the animals and the people. So, you get into that kind of stuff, and there's no doubt in my mind that they're dragons, and they call them dinosaurs. But when you're looking at what they build, that's just fairy tale. It's a little bit of truth and a lot of fairy tale. No, those are the smart monkeys that decided not to become us. That's what I always say. Several of the monkeys were smart enough not to turn into people. Yeah, well, that's what they said. They said first, before they come up with this, they said, well, it's very, very, very slow. But then the circular reasoning, dating the strata by the contents by the strata and all that stuff, and then they could never put together anything that would back up gradualism, anything that was true, that didn't get debunked. So then they come up with this. but they still teach both. They still teach this as science. They still teach the horses going from tiny little horses to great big horses. And, you know, okay, if this is true, get this junk out of the textbook. But see, it's funny because you can tell the spirit of the devil's working here because he'll allow this and this, but he won't allow this in the textbook. You can study this in a school as a history book. But you can't teach this as real, but you can teach this as real even though this debunks this and this, but neither one of them make any sense scientifically, and there's no science could ever, no scientist could ever get into a lab, would put whatever coat on and pull whatever degree out and do any of that. And they can't even show it. But they tell your kids it's true. And they believe it. Because you're sending them, this is what you got to be careful about. You're sending them somewhere to learn something. They're teaching them stuff. You got to be careful what they're learning. Sister? No, he wasn't. Matter of fact, he was studying to be a preacher. I think his dad was a Baptist preacher. That's probably what went wrong with him. Brother? Yeah, and all he did was they stopped this island. He said these birds, and he said this bird, these birds produce these birds. And if you ever studied the Punnett square and genetics, I mean, that's some reality there. But it's the same species. If you got a bird with this trait, a bird with this trait, the chances of, you know, 75% of the time it's going to come out with this trait, just like blue eyes in a human and brown eyes and different things like that. Usually the darker colors are dominant, usually. But if you got two dominant, you get into dominant, recessive, and all this other stuff, and different types of alleles, all this stuff. And that I don't have a problem with that, but you got two monkeys producing a monkey this way or that way, and two humans producing a human. You're not taking a snail and making an elephant out of it. And, I mean, God could do that if he wanted to, but he didn't do that. This is what he did. He told us what he did. So these theories are the ones you got to watch out for mostly, and this is the, I guess the 70s is when this pretty much come out. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a pretty popular scientist. Gould. Stephen Gould, I believe. Sister? Okay. I don't know if I spelled the aliens right or not. Anyway. So here's the deal. If you look at the progression of things, they're getting people to doubt the Bible, getting people to doubt the Bible, getting people to doubt the Bible. Now it's aliens, getting people to doubt the Bible. When the Lord calls you out of here, it's going to be the aliens that took you. It's not going to be God. They're going to blame it on the aliens. They're going to say the aliens abducted them. That's why the devil's doing all this stuff with crop circles and cows. They're finding cows with no blood in them and stuff like that. They've been finding that stuff for years. And they're preparing people to believe that the rapture was done by aliens. Stephen Hawking had set the stage for this too. He was their best quote unquote scientist. You remember Stephen Hawking? And they asked him, how do you, the Big Bang Theory didn't make a lot of sense, you know, and he goes, well, you know, there's some problems with the Big Bang Theory. Maybe we all come from aliens. Well, they're not addressing the problem. The problem is where did everything start? If we come from aliens, where do the aliens come from? So why would you believe that aliens live forever, but you refuse to believe God has been here forever? That doesn't make sense. It's all right if your God's a little green man that's going, or a gray man or whatever, that's going to show up in a spaceship one day and probe your earlobes or something, whatever they do. I don't know what they do. I haven't been abducted yet. Hopefully the Lord will abduct us soon. But it's all right if your God's this guy. But if your God's the God of the Bible, then you're a problem. And that's what it's all boiling down to. You're going to be the enemy of the world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork day in and day out. Yeah. Now they let them out and they're running the country. Yeah, but I don't think a lot of the people know they're pawns of the devil. I think they're just like these scientists. I think that they're so caught up in their pride and their ego that they find Lucy and they go, I just got to make this work. I don't think that they wake up in the morning and say, I got to disprove God, all of them. But I think a lot of them are so caught up in their pride and their ego that they're going, I'm going to prove this no matter what, because I couldn't have wasted 30 years of my life on an education that's wrong. Amen. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people refuse to get saved. They refuse to get saved when they get older because they can't believe that they've tried to keep the golden rule and all this other stuff. And then you tell them at 70 that they're a sinner and they're going to burn in hell. They're like, they can't believe that because they've been trying so hard. And they think they're a pretty good person. Well, they haven't read enough Bible to realize that we're all wicked. You know, sister, you guys arm wrestle over here. I don't know anybody by no name. Be a good class to plunk. I went to what they called an accelerated science program where people were deciding whether they wanted to go into medical or chiropractic or nursing or whatever, you know. And you could pick whatever classes were going to funnel you whatever direction. We had a biology teacher's name was Tim Wakefield, and pretty innocuous looking guy, pretty innocent looking guy, but he was teaching biology, and he was talking about the horses, and I just bust up laughing. I mean, I didn't know a lot of Bible back then, but I was like, this is, and he's looking at me, and he's like, it's something funny, and I'm like, you tell me, you're drawing horses, they started out this tall, you know, what if the people evolved faster than the horses, you'd be crushing them. No, I don't know. It's just silly stuff, you know. They teach it, and when he taught it, I mean, he taught about diatoms and diatomaceous earth and genetics and all kinds of stuff. But when he teach about the horses, man, it got serious. I mean, his demeanor changed, and he was on a mission, and that mission was to show you that these horses just come about on their own, and the horses in Revelation, they're not real, but these are. You know, that's the horses you better worry about. When Jesus Christ comes back on a white horse, you better be saved. You'll be coming back with him instead of against him. All right, one more question if anybody has something. Scott, did you have something? Okay, sister. Yeah. I guess the monkeys didn't start murdering people that became people. I don't know. I mean, I go back to, I'm standing on the smart monkeys didn't turn into people. I'm standing on that. I ain't moving on that. So if you go to the zoo, you are looking at the superior species in the cage. It's not us. Amen. No, but all joking aside, you either believe the book or you don't. And, you know, the Pope says you can blend it, you can change it, you can... But the Pope's the devil, a devil anyway. And I'll stand on that, too. He's just wicked. And the Catholics, a lot of them are waking up seeing that. And hopefully, you know, the bottom line is, as Bible believers, we stick to the truth and try to rightly divide that book and just stand strong until the Lord calls us out of here, hopefully today. Amen.